This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Row One Seat One podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Yuga. Man, it's been another week. It's been a crazy week. And I want to bring on the most positive person I know, the biggest force of personality I know, the one guy who can make it okay, and that is Mr. Brickster. Brick, welcome to the show.
Brother, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it. It means the world to just be able to gather, even if we're not socially in a setting, just get a chance to just kind of just connect and just love on each other, love on the wrestling community. You know, we're obviously in some tough times right now, things that no one could have predicted. But I believe that we'll come out on top of this. I just don't think, you know, it is a lose-lose situation as of now. And that's the way it looks, but I don't believe that will be the way it finishes.
Well, Brick, thank you so much. Now, you didn't start as Brick. Tell us about Little Ricky.
So Little Ricky was just kind of this really big personality kid who kind of just was the youngest of three.
Up in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, up in Buffalo, New York. Grew up kind of right in the city line. And my family, you know, my mom was pregnant with my sister a week out of high school, and then my dad was young, and they were, you know, 18, so they had a few kids and stuff, but it just didn't really work out, and they both made their mistakes or whatever. But long story short, my mom ended up taking care of us and kind of just grew up on my own because she was out making the money, and then my brother and sister were really kind of the babysitters in it all. But we just kind of grew up on our own and just made a lot of poor decisions and just kind of been in the streets and stuff like that. But, you know, nothing like gangbanger-ish, but definitely like, I guess people would say like white trash or something. It's fine. It's cool. But then like, you know, going through school and stuff, started getting plugged in sports and all that. That kind of really helped me. Was always really into theater, musicals, plays, and all that stuff really. I was just so interested in it because I loved acting. So going through school, I did half of the year in sports, half of the years in musicals. You know, I really wanted to be, an actor or famous growing up, I believe, or some type of that. Obviously, I was young, dumb, and selfish, so I don't know what that meant. But
yeah, we all wanted to be famous in some way, though.
That was kind of the story, made a lot of poor decisions. My grandma always took us to church because she was like the sound one, my grandma and grandpa, because like no one else would. And like we would go there as kids and go to some Christian camps and stuff. And I just kind of would just grab onto things when I would go as a kid. Never really followed or anything. But like after I got older and made a bunch of bad decisions and, you know, got a million second chances, just kind of became, just more sound in who I am, started pursuing the Lord and just finding out who I am as a person, what my purpose is.
Now, where did wrestling come into play in all that? Because were you one of those early adopters or did you catch on to wrestling kind of later as you went?
So like my dad was my like best friend, as much as like my younger childhood was pretty shot. I guess we got older, we all came together and everything. And I have two incredible parents. One passed. Yesterday was the 6th year anniversary of it. Rest in peace, Pops.
Man, my head's talking.
Yeah, and then, you know, I got my mom. But my dad was a diehard wrestling fan. We had the cheater box in the basement, nice. And the pancake, and we would all go over there on Sundays. My brother was like 4 years older than me, so they were all driving. So I was just like the younger brother jumping in the car. But we'd go there over on Sundays. We'd watch all the pay per views. He would have a TV connected to the one TV we were watching. He was a video game hawk, so we would have all the video games playing while we're watching. This is like my whole childhood growing up.
Your dad sounds like one of us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He would be just like you. If he was still around, like, he would travel, he would be just, he'd literally cut from the same cloth as you. And, like, then, like, my dad was really extreme. He, like, he would start getting really into video games, really in depth. So I think that's where he started getting into, like, a lot of Japanese video games, because he was starting to get systems with chips and systems that are games that don't even come to the States, or Metal Gear Solid months before it even come
here. Oh, that's crazy.
So it's like he would start kind of trying to, like, you know, translate Japanese and all this stuff. And I think he started getting into, like, some kind of, like, deathmatch wrestling. And then he started getting into, you know, ECW. And then it started coming through Buffalo on a loop. And as a kid, I would go with him and we'd bring all the weapons. And it was really cool.
You and your dad would go and bring weapons to ECW.
Oh, yeah.
That was your father, your father-son bonding moment.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, so my friends would come with us, because he was kind of the cool dad. And, like, we would all go, and we just watch, like, Sabu and Sandman just, like, you know, take chair shot after chair shot. And just Al Snow just erupt the place with head, and Taz would walk by me, and I touched him, you know, one time, and he smelled like peppermint. I was like, oh, my gosh, he's so jacked. He smells like peppermint. This is crazy. You know, like, I was, like, getting all these wild, crazy, like, those are my moments that got me, you know, like going to hardcore wrestling, you know, with my dad and stuff. And, like, I guess for me, I always wanted to be, you know, an actor and everything, an entertainer. And I just think for me, as far as, like, pursuing the wrestling business, I started pursuing it, really getting into it about 5 years ago. And so I kind of got into it at an earlier age. But I think after, like, I tragically lost my dad, and, like, I wanted to get back into the performing world to be an entertainer. And wrestling started really pursuing, kind of, I really wasn't looking for it. It kind of found me. But I'm telling you right now, it's kind of those weird things, because I've been married for a decade, and my wife could testify to this. Like, the whole time we've been married, for the last 10 years, anywhere I would go, and this is for my whole marriage, not even being a wrestler, anywhere I'd go, people would ask if I was or think I was a wrestler.
Really?
So after
I can see that.
Being looked as a wrestler for so long and loving it, I was like, well, what the heck? I mean, I might as well just shoot for this, because, you know, I mean, the look is really important in that business.
Oh, yeah. And you are unmistakably a pro wrestler. That is,
you know, in every way. It means a lot to me, because I love the business. And, you know, I know that the business is constantly changing, and I respect it. I'm with it. I'm definitely on the wave, and I respect, love it all. But I also love that nostalgia of, like, growing up on wrestling and seeing those wrestlers that really, you know, the Gold Dusts, the Ric Flairs, the Shawn Michaels, the Macho Mans, like, all that stuff. I'm kind of like a piece of it all, you know? Like, that's who I am. So I just like to... I like being identified in that era, if that means anything.
Oh, you're definitely a throwback. Definitely a throwback. Now, one other thing you did as a youth, I guess, I don't know how old you were. You never told me how old you were when you did it. But some people might know you as Romance from I Love New York. How did that whole thing come about?
Yeah, so that happened all in Tampa Bay, you know. It was one of my last stops in Tampa Bay, which goes to show you how crazy Tampa Bay gets.
Tampa's insane.
Which is so sad to even say that right now. But, yeah, I just turned 21. I was in Tampa Bay. I was in Ybor City, right where we were about to set up shop for the next 3 weeks. And I was just going, and out celebrating my 21 with a couple buddies. And it was my last night there. And we went to a place called the Amphitheater. And it was just, I guess it was just kind of like a dance club thing, but, like, people were, like, juggling fire and, like, spitting fire, and, you know what I'm saying, like, it was a little bit more. I was just hanging, doing my thing,
and I've seen you do your thing. You've got moves.
And I was just doing my thing, and, like, I guess on the top floor there was a bunch of guys casting for a show. They seen me, they approached me, hey, are you interested? I didn't know what I was getting into. Being a guy from Buffalo, there's no entertainment, there's no outlets to pursue it, there's no, well, I'm gonna go do extras for the movies. I mean, it's like, in Buffalo, you're working for the steel plant, General Mills, you know, swing shift, construction, you know, for the state and the school systems. Like, there's no entertainment out there. That's the point. And
there's the bills and the savings.
I shot a shot, man. You know, it's one thing I always did. You know, little Ricky always shot a shot. any shot I got, every shot. And as soon as they said you got one day to, you know, we could get this before you leave, we kind of cut plans. The next day I decided to meet with them and just do a casting. And, you know, 2 weeks after the casting, I got a call stating I was going to be on a show. I had no idea what I was getting into. And when it was all said and done, it ended up being one of the biggest TV shows in history. It was on VH1 called I Love New York. And, yeah, it was kind of the brink of reality TV back in 2007. It came out right after The Surreal Life, right after Flavor Flav. And it kind of just segued into this really cool reality TV universe that everyone enjoyed. The show was very well directed. It was very well written. It made fun of all those 20 guys. It made her look great. And it was just a hoot, man. Like, it's hilarious. So, you know, definitely made bad decisions and stuff. I was a young guy back then. Definitely a selfish prankster. But as far as being on that show and, like, being able to have it run every year it runs in all countries, especially around Valentine's Day, and be able to have box sets of it and constantly still get recognized for it, even till this day, even in the wrestling business, it's helped me tremendously. It's a blessing that I was even part of that cast.
What was your experience on the show like?
Well, you know, it's...
What is it like on a reality show? Because I've obviously never been on one. I don't have the looks that you got. But,
it's just like one of those things where, you know, they want to drop you into, they want to drop everyone into the Petri dish together at once. And then they want all the chemistry and all the combustion and all the chemicals and everything to mix at once to see what type of wild, I guess, show they can make. So a lot of it is, you know, you go there, you get on lockdown for about a week. And that's where you kind of start going stir crazy, especially if you're a young kid like me. I was the youngest by 2 years, just turned 21. They drop you there. You don't completely know if you got it yet because they're going to use 20 guys, but they flew out 25. So now they're really, you know, now they're crunching numbers a couple days before you're about to go. So for these 3-4 days, they won't let you out of the hotel because they block off the whole floor. And actually every single floor has an actual cast member in it. So me, for a couple of days, I'm starting to go crazy. So now I'm staring through the people, just walk, you know, watching people walk by to see who I'm going to, you know, be on the show with, you know. And you only got an hour a day out, which was either by a pool or just maybe hit the gym, and then you're right back up there. Through those few days, you're doing like castings, extra castings, pictures, everything to see if you're really going to be on the show. There's no 100% until the day before. They make you feel that way as well. You're not completely settled that you're going yet, even though you might be going.
It's like cut down day in the NFL, basically.
Yes.
But every day is that day.
And it's brilliant because it's a psychological test for someone that really completely fumbles them, so they go right into it imbalanced. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because you're focused so much on, are you going to get this? You don't even know if you're going to get it. Then all of a sudden you do get it. So, like, your emotions are high. So then they drop you literally right into this. So basically they would call you in the morning and say, okay, I'll come down for breakfast. All right. Wow, I could finally leave. I go down for breakfast. And you just eat your breakfast. Eat your breakfast quietly. And then there you go. You're eating breakfast in a room full of actual 20 guys. And you're all eating quietly. And you're just looking at each other.
Sizing each other up, probably.
Yep, they don't want you to conversate. They don't want no conversations, right? Like, you just, okay, you guys didn't eat breakfast? Okay, get in two vans. Okay, we get in two vans. We drive up. He's playing music for us and stuff, so we're all talking a little bit. That was when Justin Timberlake's Sexy Back just came out, so, like, I remember that was playing, and, like, we were just making fun or whatever. Then as soon as we get dropped off in the driveway, all right, guys, get up. You're ready for camera shots. Cool. Do all that. Walk in. Introduce ourselves. Go in the backyard. Then they let us go. Okay, guys, you can start talking now.
You can start drinking now.
Yeah. Right. So, all right, guys, the show's on now. You guys can talk. Do what you got to do. So, like, then it's like, okay, well, so they basically get you right from the jump. They make sure that they have no space, or they give you no delay to make sure that the all raw emotions of how you actually feel about someone, you get directly on camera rather than us hanging out for a day, seeing who they are, already making our impression, then the camera comes out. So they literally get raw emotion. They make you very stir crazy and they really mess with you psychologically right before you go in. So even the strongest guys will be a little bit bummed.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So how then? What is the show like?
So the show is very, it's very buddy buddy because, you know, it's the way that they edited ours. We had no idea really what they were doing, but the only way I can think of it to just kind of be the guy to be transparent, there's probably the $1 million man in the back room because like one side of the house is blocked off. You can't go in because it's like all the camera crews, yeah. Like probably. And then the other side of the house, we have all fair game for. Anything we wanted as far as like food, drinks, anything we could get. And then you all kind of pick your bed and you do your thing. Well, there's a guy behind the screen that is the mastermind that is literally taking this whole thing, doing a play-by-play, almost like he's breaking down a sport with our personalities and finding ways to exit people as well as finding ways to move people on. So they had two paths for me. They had a path to completely eliminate me, or they had a path they could have took to actually push me out farther. I obviously got in a confrontation because that's who little Ricky was, and I obviously got taken out. But either way, like, you know, you have a pretty good indication of, you know, the storyline and kind of where it's going and things of that nature, you know. So, yeah, that was the experience. It was great. It was about a 3-year wave, I would say. It's about 3 years I probably wrote it. I did some cool things with it. I did cool things for hospitals. I got a chance to do things for Valentine's Day as romance. And then I got a chance to, like, kind of do some, like, I guess just, like, other, I guess I would say dumb stuff now. They're just, like, I don't know, back at that time, it was, like, bar appearances. Those were really popular, like, all the time from, like,
MTV. Can't beat it, man. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. So, like, all those guys, you know, what was MTV stuff called? I forgot. What was it called?
I remember. Just say you were from MTV, basically, and you get a bar appearance. It was great.
Yeah.
Those were the times, man. All the
road rules guys. So, it was like, road rules guys or whatever, you know? I Love Money ended up coming out. That could have been a whole new series that I definitely could have done. At that time, I was in a lot of just bad trouble and stuff because I was rolling with a lot of the bad people at that time. That took me a while to learn that one, man. Who you roll with is who you are. You know, you guys got to know that. If you hang out with garbage long enough, you smell like it, you know. Even if you were to take garbage and you had a 3,000 square foot house and you put it in one room, no matter what, you could always eventually smell it throughout that whole house. It might take time, but like eventually that house is going to smell a rot. And that's exactly how relationships are. So, you know, you will be exposed through your relationships, and people need to know that. So as a young guy, I was rolling with a lot of people trying to ride coattails and steal fame and all this stuff, but I didn't know better. So it took a while to learn, but man, it was a wild experience.
So from there, you're getting in trouble. At what point do you discover wrestling? Because that seems to be something that might have saved you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really, really good question. So I got in the workforce, found an incredible wife, great supporting wife, and we started, you know, just kind of grinding and working on our marriage and, you know, just doing things to become one. And we did that for a long time. And after about 5 years of, you know, really grinding and putting it down in the workforce, I was in the banking industry. I was actually a debt collector, so like that's what I used to do. Like that's how I made my living. I was a guy who literally
I would
blow phones up and like just, you know, and like I wasn't a telephone tough guy. I was Ricky in this, but I was really successful at it. So I just one day, you know, I don't know. I think it was my dad passed away. I got really reckless, made a lot of bad decisions. And I just got to a point where I wanted to do something. I was working for a company that was just like taking me for a ride because I often intend to be really nice to people. And then there's like a good select people that take advantage of it.
Sure.
My job took full advantage of it. They were taking me for a ride. So I got to a point where I was just like, I really wanted to get back into pursuing the art of entertainment. I wanted to do it with a purpose. I was in a new headspace. I was all, you know, I was all about the community. I've been all about the community. I wanted to bring people together. So everything that Brickster is actually me. Brickster is me. There's really no different. I wear Lego bow ties to almost all weddings I go to. I dress like that pretty much everywhere I go.
I can vouch.
I mean, like, no offense, but, like, yeah, my wrestling outfit's a wrestling outfit, but, like, every outfit I wear is pretty much a wrestling outfit. Like, I'm just me, and, like, all my messages are just kind of what I believe in and what I breathe for. So yeah, I think wrestling was a big part of saving my life, saving my marriage. I think, you know, when I told my wife, when you're 30, I think I was 30, maybe I was, like, 29. But when I told my wife that, you know, I'm going to, you know, stop working, because, like, we had to get a plan. I'm gonna stop working. I want to pursue the wrestling, and I want to basically walk around with my clothes off and wrestle guys naked in a ring, getting sweaty. It's hard to.
That's a conversation most people have.
Yeah, and like, so let's go to the other layer of the onion, right? Because, like, relationships are important. We just talked about them. Yeah. So what does she say to her friends? Right. Oh, or, yeah. What do her friends say to her? I mean, how many of her friends are going to be able to, understand this or been through this? Or no one. So, you know, so, like, then you get the pushback of that. And I know that she probably got a little bit of it, but, you know, she was a big, big, strong no. Man, it was just so cool. It's just the best part of the story. It's the fruitful part. God just started opening up doors, boss. I don't know how to tell you otherwise. I don't get it. We don't get it. But there's just been so much momentum and so much favor for me. And as much as people might not think that, like, everywhere I got is by design. It's by incredible people. It's by incredible relationships. It's by hard work. But, like, there's just momentum came. Lex Luger came into my life. You know, literally comes in and, like, completely is willing to be like a dad to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
D-Lex
Luger. Basically, I could live with him if I needed to, you know? And, like, that's how much he came. He was coming to my wrestling gym just to watch my friends' matches, to give them advice. Like, he was, you know what I'm saying? So,
and how does this happen? How do you get connected with Lex Luger?
So I got connected with him at our church. My brother runs a church up in Buffalo, a group called Vintage, which is a college age group. And it's one, like, he gathers like 400 or 500 a week. It's pretty big for up there. And down here, mega churches are bigger, but, like, up there, it's big.
Well, that's not bad.
And, like, he had Lex come in, this, that, and the other. Well, it wasn't even my brother who was the bridge. This other big, like, business, financial, savvy guy in there started seeing me pursuing the business. And he was like, oh, man, it'd be really cool to have you guys talk. Like, that'd be good. You could learn a lot from him. He, like, really believed in me, this guy. I'll never forget him. His name's Ryan Cozy. Like, really believed in me. And, like, he was a guy who could make moves. He's like, all right, I got lunch. Meet here at this day. Lex is coming. I was like, absolutely. I went there, and it was over. I just told him my heart, told him what I believed in, told him how much, you know, and he just believes in me. He thinks I got it. And so.
And Lex was your dude growing up, too.
Yeah, and, like, I'm older now, and, like, there's just so much going into conversations. Meantime, my wife's a solid no, as we all know, but, like, this eventually hurt, you know, eventually God changed her heart. So, like, she's a yes now, and then all of a sudden, you know, we have a baby, and it's like, well, how do we do this? Because as a man that's married and as a man that's a dad, like, if I work all week and then leave on the weekends, like, I'll probably – something's going to fall to the wayside. I mean, it could be my kid, could be my wife. We don't know. We don't want to test it, though. So we said the best for us is, all right, so Brick's going to stay home and take care of Valor during the day, and then he'll travel on the weekends for wrestling, and then she's going to do the 9-to-5 right now. And that's what we've been doing. And it's been a sacrifice, and, you know, but we completely up and move and left Buffalo, New York, to move to Nashville because we felt the call, and a lot of it was what we believe for wrestling in ways. So, just a wild story. It's just really cool how it all came together. I don't take it for granted. I don't know how long my story will be. I don't know what the ending is. But, like, just so all you guys really, really know, I don't care what it is. Like, if the door closes, it closes. Like, I'm not going to be bent about it. I've learned so much. I've made so many incredible friends, and, like, I've done such incredible, cool things. So, like, I'm kind of playing with house money now. I obviously do want to get into wrestling and make a full-time paycheck so I could provide for my family. I just want to kind of give back to my wife for making so many sacrifices for me and for Brick Nation. But I don't know if that's going to be the end of the story. And if it's not, I'm okay with it.
But you've had some really cool experiences since getting into wrestling. I mean, you were on WrestleMania week last year. You've been in AIW. You've been a god at SUP. You've been traveling all over the place. I mean, you've done some really cool things in a very short time.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I mean. I just had the opportunity to develop. Okay, so, you know, let's just say this. All wrestlers aren't the best communicators, right? So for me, I can't go into a locker room and tell them I'm about to do some crazy springboard moonsault flip and say, hey, boys, just watch me out there and that. What I can do is invest in people. What I can do is spend time with them. I can hear their story. I can encourage them. I could, you know, get them lunch. That's my tool set, man. Like, those are my gifts. So in the wrestling business, so since those gifts are kind of, you know, I guess unknown or whatever, it's just been able to help me because, I don't know. It's just, I just love people, man. So the important thing is as long as I'm doing something to help my story get out and me get other people's stories out, you know, that's the job. The job is to bring people together. The job is to not only do that through the ring and through the fan, but to be a light in locker rooms, to be hands on deck. You know, I've set up numerous rings. I tore down numerous rings. I tore down a ring yesterday. If I can do it, I do it. It's not about that. If I can help a wrestling brother, I will. You know, if anyone's in Nashville needing a place, I'm there. You know, I'm in it for the brotherhood. I'm in it for the industry as a whole and leaving it better than the day I came in it. So my goals in wrestling are a little different than other people. And maybe it's a curse. You know, people like Ethan Page told me in the beginning of my career, like, you know, you're going to basically get chewed up and spit out in this business, brother, being a good guy. And it's like, you know what? I don't care, man. Like, that's the reality. If I was a 20-year-old kid, I'd be like, wait, what? But it's just an adult as a dad, as a husband. It's just like a guy. Like, I'm not going to ruin my morals, my values to, you know, to be someone I'm not. That's ultimately what it comes down to.
You always got to be you, and you're just a good human being. You're, as Brett Eisen told me, they don't make them like you. You're not of this world.
Well, it's not even being out of this world. It's one of those things where I just feel like, sorry about this.
No, it's okay.
I hate hearing that. Sorry, he snuck off. My wife caught him, and he wasn't supposed to be making noise, but he wanted to hang with Dad.
It's okay.
But, I mean, I don't want to say it's out of this world, because I think anyone can be a person like this. I don't ever want people to be someone they're not. But I think what's helped me with it all is me actually doing all that. I love New York stuff, you know, 15 years ago. Me getting a taste of everything, because, believe me, it was a good taste of it. 15 minutes of fame, you could call it. That's fine. I'll take 15 minutes of fame if that's what you want to put that as. But let me tell you, it was a sweet 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? They don't get much sweeter than those. You know, and like, you know, MySpace was popping. And like, believe me, if it was those days, I wasn't worried about followers. Like, it was just happening. But I didn't really know how to take good in that. I didn't know how to use that to actually make a difference with it. I didn't know what to do with that.
Sure.
So I didn't use it. I just completely trashed it. I completely took advantage of it, made a lot of bad decisions with it, didn't probably really help people with it, was a bad influence for kids with it. And well, you were young, Brick. You were young. Yeah, you're right. I get it. I made bad decisions.
Yeah, no, if all of us at that age had that spot, we probably would have done the same thing.
I don't regret it, but this is what I can promise you. What I do now will not be any of that. And that's the second coming of Brick, coming back, trying to make a difference, trying to do things, you know, the
experience I've had from getting a chance to go up to the collective and do the family reunion, to meeting, you know, John Thorne, to Brett Lauderdale, to, you know, you're talking about, like, you know, promoters that I've wished and just wanted to work for. I got a chance to meet, kind of just help out, learn from them. Man, I was part of the stage crew. And to be pretty honest with you, like, this year with my injury, let's just say I probably could have been part of the stage crew again this year. And if I was, that's cool, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. I get a chance to watch people live out their dreams. It's a week where people are going to get these big breaks. It's a week where I get the chance to see some of my best friends have the biggest moments of their life. Regardless of me, I don't care. You know, like, that's what I live for, this business. So, you know, being able to, like, you know, John Thorne or Brett Lauderdale would say, hey, man, you can help out, or you can do this and you can do that. Just given opportunities just to kind of be there, be hands. When they come, when GCW came through Nashville, hey, man, whatever you need, just like, this is what it's about. It's about making wrestling better. It's about learning from people that are smarter than you. Constantly trying to be around people that are better than you. Always. I'm always in a room full of people better than you. It's important. It's so important. So, the collective rolled, then I got a really good chance with some promo work with All Elite Wrestling, and obviously that kind of hasn't stopped either, because any homework they give me, I do. You know, why not? Why not? And then, you know, thank God, but it's been a huge goal of mine, and not to say that I ever would consider satisfied, but being able to work for AIW is an absolute dream of mine, well before I even got there or thought of it. Well,
this is AIW in Cleveland.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a brotherhood. It's a brotherhood. This is the Goodfellas stuff. We're talking, they've been around since 05. You walk on that scene from the guys that are checking tickets, from guys that are standing up on the side, the securities, from the camera guys to the referees to the bell ringers to the promoters to all hands on deck, everyone's got each other's back. There's no, everyone's on the same beat. You know what I'm saying? So it's just really cool that I had the opportunity to, man, just so cool that I had the opportunity to join two of my bestest brothers in the business. And I got a chance to join them because I was just being a brother to him, man. Years down the road, see him in Indiana, see him up in Buffalo, see him down in Nashville for years, just connecting with Josh Bishop, Maserati West, Dominic Greeny, just Dr. Dan, you know, the production. You know, we're talking like they became brothers to me. And you know why?
And some really good talents, too.
I'm from Buffalo. So they're northern guys, and they're starting to dip in the south. They started seeing them, and like we just all connected because we drink from the same water, and you know, so that's kind of where that all started, and just became really good brotherhood with them, and to be able to wrestle side by side with those guys, they're psychopaths. I am so excited to get psycho. I can't wait.
So you have these opportunities coming up, but one thing that's gone away that you mentioned last year is. It doesn't look like the collective might probably not happen. It doesn't look like the WrestleCon is going to happen. It doesn't look like a lot of these things are going to happen. You know, we have a lot of wrestlers, a lot of fans listening to this right now who are in their feelings right now and who are down in the dumps right now and not, you know, just this is for me. This is my one vacation a year. For a lot of these people, this is the, you know, they saved up all their money for, you know, and there's a lot of fear going on right now. What advice would you give to people who they put everything into this?
You know, it's first I gotta go after the wrestlers that were not booked this year, the wrestlers that constantly throw these aggressive messages out, you know, because they weren't booked or ones that are applauding that the collective isn't going on. Or ones that somehow are finding a way to catch this as a victory because selfishly they weren't thought of. Those people, they do not deserve to be in the business. And we know each and every single one of you guys that do this. So we just want to say, you guys, we don't need your open arms. We don't need your welcome back. We knew who you guys are. And I want to say, I am just so, it's so embarrassing to see another pro wrestler not want to see another one succeed, regardless if you like their work or not, or regardless if they're over and you're not. Apparently, you're not studying the business enough. Secondly, I want to thank all the promoters for just even taking risks on guys like me or guys all over the country to do these shows, to shell out all this money, to put on these moments, these memories for these fans and for these wrestlers that not only changed their life, but things that they will remember for the rest of their life. I thank those promoters for investing and giving us an outlet and opportunity to even have that. I believe things will get better. I do know that with the financial situation, nothing I say can help it. So I'm not the type of guy that's going to come in here and say a bunch of things, but I do think everything does happen for a reason. And when I look at things full circle, I try to see and try to get things out of it. So I constantly try to learn and step forward. I believe maybe these times, maybe getting a book, maybe getting a good book. I don't know. Maybe get wisdom. Maybe these times get creative cooking, get creative with your families, get creative making tents with your kids, get creative doing things that you're not normally doing. Find ways to inner channel and get in the white space to keep your creative juices flowing. I am a guy that's fueled off relationships. It's the engine of my life. If this affects anyone, it affects me more than anything. I do not like sitting home. I like social gatherings.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about. So take care of yourself. Maybe you just need to be a friend for somebody. You know, idle hands, idle time, a lot of bad habits can happen. Be wise. Be alert to what's going on. Just don't sit there and just get caught up in stuff. Just be alert. Be wise. It's dark times in this. It's beyond the wrestling stuff. This is health. This is wellness. This is mental health. I just want to make sure everyone's okay, and I want to make sure that the wrestling community, and just as a spokesperson for, I believe, the wrestling community with all my friends and family in it, we love you guys. Reach out. Make sure you have people to talk to. We're going to get through this. Wrestling is not dead. This is just going to be just an end of a chapter. Something new is going to happen. And listen, most importantly, wrestlers, be ready, because there's going to be a whistle that blows. And the green light's going to go. And there's going to be a bunch of wrestlers that have opportunities. And I promise you, if you're not ready to go, you're not going.
Well, Brick, that's great words to end on. Great, great advice there for wrestlers and great advice for fans. Where can people find you?
Yeah, man, you can find me at Mr. Brickster, 2 R's, Mr._Brickster on Twitter. Ricky Prillo is my family. Well, I mean, that's my name. My name's Richard Prillo, but Ricky Prillo is the name on Facebook. Instagram's Mr._Brickster. So, yeah, you guys connect with me, get in touch. You know, if you guys need anything, shouts of encouragement.
You still have your merch up, too?
I have 2 shirts. I do have a shirt, my new Buffalo Built shirt. I have a link for that. That is on my Twitter. That's the new Buffalo Built shirt. We also have 2 shirts that are in process of coming out through IWTV. I want you to look for those. There will be a Brick Believes shirt, which will be an IWTV exclusive. And we have one working Rip City shirt, too. So, yeah, things are rolling. I don't even want to be like, yeah, this hurts me, you know, because, you know, I got my wife coming home, and she runs a property, and they have to lay off hourly employees. You know, and we're talking about people that can't pay bills.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a lot of what's going on in the independent scene as far as the financial stuff. That stuff breaks my heart. You know, it's been a tough 2020, guys. Let's be real.
Yeah.
The Kobe Bryant stuff, this stuff, the tornado in Nashville. It's been tough. And, you know, it doesn't look like there's light at the end of the tunnel, but I promise there is light at the end of the tunnel. We're going to come back stronger. We're going to come back together. I believe we're going to find ways to find funds for these wrestlers. We're going to find ways to donate and raise funds for these wrestlers. I recommend, don't even buy my merchandise. Buy other people's merchandise. I don't even need you to buy mine. Not to be mean, but, like, go support other people. like Dirty Daddy, Effie, people that like really just gave up everything to be a professional wrestler, and they literally were about to just, and it just got taken from them. So support all them, and you know, just come to me to get fed if you can. Just the words of encouragement. Just listening is all I need. I appreciate it.
Brick, thank you so much, my friend.
Love you, brother.
Love you, brother. We have a famous guest right now, or the cousin of a famous guest right now. Now, Donnie's actually making his own way through the wrestling world. We have Kung Fu Donnie Janella on right now as we walk through the independent world and highlight some wrestlers that may not otherwise get spotlights. Donnie has been ripping up the Southeast for the last few years and has a famous cousin, but is really doing well in his own right. Welcome, Donnie, to the show.
What's going on, my man? Yeah, I'm not too famous in independent wrestling. Not so much as Joey, but, you know, you go to the annuals of Kung Fu, and I'm actually quite famous. I am the reigning, defending Kung Fu world champion, actually.
I'll go check the Wikipedia on that, but I'm sure it's there. Donnie, tell me about a little Donnie. How did little Donnie fall in love with Kung Fu and wrestling and merging those worlds together?
Oh, man. Since day one, I was always a real big pro wrestling fan. My mom used to work at a gas station, and she would bring home these VHS tapes every day. And my earliest memories was watching Hogan and Andre and Hogan and Warrior and Hogan and Bundy. Like, she would just bring me home all the manias.
Oh, that's
and
sick.
For the longest time, I thought I saw Warrior Hogan live. And I'm like, wait a minute. Shit was done in 1990. I remember watching that shit when I was like 2 years old, you know.
But so you had the plug. Your mom had the video plug. That's insane,
dude. So I remember watching all of that, dude. And like, not trying to go off into much of a sad sack right here, but I really didn't have a dad. So like, when you watch Hulk Hogan on TV and he's like, eat your vitamins, say your prayers and all that shit, I feel like I had a connection with Hulk for the longest time, man. So I just wanted to go up and be a superhero like him.
Now, at what point did you decide this was something that you want to pursue? And you actually want to try it. And you know, you had the martial arts background, too. I mean, what did martial arts get in the way of wrestling? Or at what point did you kind of, were they kind of coming up together? What was, you know, because, I mean, you kind of have the two loves there.
Oh, yeah, man. I started martial arts at a young age because I was really scrawny. I had buck teeth and a afro, and I was easy target for a lot of people. So I got into a local martial arts class and just to learn to defend myself. And at the start of 16, I started training full time, as much as a 16-year-old can, for to be a cage fighter, mixed martial arts. That's back when the UFC was blowing up, you know, and they had Chuck versus Tito, and that was the. So
that was my jam. Yeah,
dude, that shit was awesome. So I started training right at this local MMA gym called TC Fitness, and then, like, I was 18 years old, and there was no fights in around here, but I was reading a back of a buy-sell bulletin, and it was, like, cage fighters wanted, so I was like, sign me the fuck up, dude. So, like, all this training has come to this. I'm going to be a famous cage fighter. So I started fighting, and I had 13 cage fights, and all in Alabama. Almost had one in Mississippi, but I kiboshed that shit. And I was training for my last fight, and I was starting I was training in MMA and with that fight, and I saw a poster. It was a promotion called Pro South, which is a smaller promotion here in Alabama. And I was like, oh, dude, my little brother Sean, who was just like me, super into pro wrestling, I was like, dude, let's go check this shit out. You know, it'll be fun. So we went to a show and saw it, and I stuck around, and I told one of the owners, like, hey, man, I'm an athlete. I would love to get in here and try this out. So the dude named Ace Haven was the guy that ran it. He trained me. And then training pro wrestling and training MMA has got to be some of the most miserable shit when you have to go early morning spark. Yeah, and then go tear your body up learning how to bump. In their ring they had, his dad was in a band, so he had a jack underneath the ring so it didn't bounce when the band was in there, right? Because they played shows in the venue. So for the first month of my training, I was bumping on a ring with a jack underneath it with no give. So.
Oh, God.
Worst shit ever, man. Oh, I'm telling you. So, yeah, I was like, you know what, man, in the middle of a weight cut, I had my last fight, and I was like, all right, I like fighting, but I love pro wrestling. I love being able to, I'm more of an entertainer, you know? So I was like, you know what, I'm going to put all my eggs into this basket, and that's what we're going with, dude.
So that was how many years ago?
Shit, I had my last fight when I was 24, 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago, yeah.
Cool. Cool. So you've been wrestling all around Alabama since then. Tell us about the Alabama scene.
The Alabama scene?
Yeah.
It's almost non-existent. bag-ass promoters out here that like to take advantage of people. And we have a bunch of people that are in their bubble. I mean, they're not bad shows. Like, the place I got trained at, Pro South, is really good for green kids like that come through there, and it's a weekly show. Every week they have a YouTube stream, so you get to learn, like, angles, and you get to, like, it's a place for, like, young guys to go through and do well on, but they don't draw very well. I mean, and they don't have, like, any buzz. They have no connection to the indie scene. Then you've got New South, which is coming up, and
it's really coming up. It's been, especially the last, like, 6 months to a year or so, New South is blowing up.
Yeah, man, that happened at a weird time. Like, when I first got there, dude, I was a pre-show guy setting up rings and stuff, and Cabana Man Dan was he wasn't even wrestling. Then for some reason we just kept busting our asses, and the guy that books at Dump Sanders is now really good friends with me and Dan, and he was along the mindset of, hey man, we draw 300-400 people every show, we're good. And then Dan and I got in, and we plugged ourselves into the independent scene across, I'd say, South through the Northeast, and really started helping get some talent going there and trying to get them, you know, our partnership with IWTV and all that stuff. And that was a big play, I think, to getting us more buzz for sure, man.
Yeah, you guys, since you guys got on IWTV, I think a lot of people have been able to see that there's decent wrestling in Alabama. You guys get good talent. You're bringing up some good kids. You're one of them. And there's some quality stuff going on there.
Oh, for sure, man. All our young kids, man, we seen, like, the hardest part of being an independent wrestler, I think, is the very beginning when, like, especially when you're trained by someone who, like, my trainer didn't travel or do much independent wrestling at all outside of, like, maybe one or two shows. So he didn't, like, it wasn't his fault. He couldn't tell me how to go out there and do things. Like, I remember one of the things I was told was, yeah, man, everything's on YouTube now, so you shouldn't travel. And I was like, and then Bob Evans came down, and I did a seminar with Bob. And
Bob was Bob.
Like, and love Bob Evans, dude.
He's great.
People can say what they feel about Bob. Bob Evans is a quality fucking dude. But then, like, I started getting in carloads, and I'd look up independent promotions, and then I'd show up, and they're like, where are you from? I'm from Alabama. That's 11 hours away. What the hell are you doing here? I mean, I'm just trying to set up a ring and get work. And then Dan came back, and Dan got buzzed because Dan did a Bev Nerd show back in the day, so a lot of people remembered him from that and remembered his run with Chikara. So then I started hopping in cars with him, and me and him would get everywhere. So then our kids would show up, like my little brother Sean. You got two Fly Ties, an Alabama guy, Daniel Perez, those guys.
Hot Tamale.
Yeah, shout out. And you got the Talladega Knights, who also are in on that. And we've adopted Chris Crunk, even though he's kind of a punk ass, but he's kind of our favorite. Tennessee doesn't fucking want him.
Not my favorite wrestler. Yeah, trust me. Speaking on behalf of Tennessee, we don't. No, just kidding. He's growing on me.
I mean, he's good in the ring, but he's a cunt. I mean, what can you do?
So you guys have really started traveling, and that's really helped to get your name out there.
Oh, yeah, man. Like,
where are some of the places you've been traveling to?
Bro, we traveled this past year. We traveled to Beyond. I didn't get to work, but Dan did. We've been to GCW. I've got to work the Wombat shows twice. I haven't got to work on the actual GCW stuff yet, but that's probably coming. Let's just be real. And then I've been to Florida to Full Throttle. I was gonna make a trip down there this year and knock some more bookings out. I've been to Texas, Arkansas, I think I've been to 15 states, just wrestling, man. Crazy as shit, because I hate traveling. Like, I'm not a fan of it. And you know what I hate worse than driving 14 hours is flying, because I'm fucking terrified of that, too.
Oh, no, I'm not a flyer either, man. I do not like planes. I'm too big for that ride.
Dude, I just, Like my first ride, dude, like I was like, man, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's gonna fucking kill us. He's got a suicide mission and we're gonna fucking die. This guy, I'm flipping out because I'm a paranoid son of a gun, but I don't know, man. It's like if you're gonna be in this shit, you either gotta be real comfortable with driving 20 hours, or you just need to get balled and hop into a plane.
Now, one thing that's really helped your growth as well is your discovery that you have a cousin. And it's brought a whole new change for you.
Oh, for sure, man. I would like to credit that with training down at Windfall Factory as well and doing a little bit of testing on Ancestry.com. And then I hit Joey up and come to find out I'm fucking related to Joey Janela. And, like, that's just the wildest shit to me. And people can't believe it, man. There's like, there's no way. It's like, dude, trust me, I know. But like a lot of guys,
that ancestry ain't cheap, man. Trust me, you paid the money for that.
Dude, I know, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, people look at me, because I was 6 years in before I found out, and I was establishing a name, Donnie Primetime, right? And I got the fucking tattoo on my back, and people were like, man, this guy just doesn't get it. He's a mark. Can't believe he would do something like that. It's like, dude, I'm not going to just up and change my fucking name to Donnie Janela without some type of, like, there's a reason for it, bro. Trust me. Like, come on, man. Why would I, like, I love Joey, and he's good people, and, you know, his family and all, but if I'm going to rip off someone's last name, at the time, it sure is not going to be Joey Janela. You know what I mean? It got to have been like, I don't know, like Donnie Stone Cold Austin or some shit. Like, I don't know, man.
Donnie Reigns.
Yeah, fuck, man.
You imagine Donnie Reigns? I just imagined that in my head, and it was the greatest thought I've ever had in my life.
Oh, dude, I learned how to keep my hair wet because of Roman Reigns, though. Like, so there is a relationship there. You don't know it yet, but we're friends.
And those that, speaking of your hair, you have possibly my favorite hair in all of wrestling.
Bro, you roast me all the fucking time for my hair, dude. Every time I get it, I was like, man, Donnie's got this shit in there. Check him out, huh?
No, Donnie's going to walk around. No, you have my favorite. Let me explain. Let me explain. Because you commit to it. You commit to it. I roast you out of love because we're friends. But you commit to it more than anyone I know, because you got to walk around with that haircut. You got to go to the gym. You got to go to CVS. You got to go to the grocery store. I mean, not now, but like theoretically, like what's around of coronavirus? Like you walk around with that haircut, and you just you live the gimmick all the time, man.
Bro, it's something that I don't know where I picked this up at. I'm unapologetically me in every sense of the term. Like, when I was in high school, I used to walk around with kickboxing gloves on, with eyeliner, with, like, band shirts, and, like, those. You remember those jeans that were, like, really, they were, like, real baggy? I forget the name of those things.
Like, JNCOs?
Yeah. I don't know if I've just had too much style or just never had it, period.
It's one of the two.
Yeah, which it works for me, though, you know? Because, like, I stand out. You know, like, you don't see people that look like me or that dress like me. It's kind of like the airport test. If I was walking through an airport, you would go, oh, what does he do? Because he looks either like he's homeless or he looks like you can't put a finger on it. You know, I'm not a normal person, man.
No, you're unmistakably a pro wrestler. And,
for sure.
And 24/7, you're a pro wrestler. I'm looking at you right now. You have the Janela glasses on while you're doing a podcast. That's amazing.
These things are fucking almost $100, dude. There's no way I'm taking these things off ever. Shower, man, for sure.
Explain the new Donnie Janela character.
Oh, man, it's just me. Like, I remember, and this is going to sound so wild, because no one ever credits this guy with shit, but I was doing a Robbie E seminar, and I was just plain babyface wrestler and like just trying to do pro wrestling. Like I locked up, I grabbed a headlock, shoot off, drop down, shoulder tackle, leapfrog, hip toss. That was the kind of person I was. It was boring. You couldn't, besides the way I looked, you really couldn't pick me out of a crowd or anything. So he was like, I need characters. He's like, when you walk out of that curtain right now, cut a promo and give me a character. And I was like, man, I'm a mixed martial artist. Like that's something that's truly me. You see a lot of people walk around the independents trying to be the MMA fighter who's never had a fucking, you know, fight in their life, have never been to a gym or nothing like that. But at the same time, there were so many of those guys, and I'm like, man, I'm never going to be as well known as Brock Lesnar or Matt Riddle or Ronda Rousey. So I'm not going that path. I was like, I'm going to take this shit and I'm going to go the opposite end of the spectrum with it, dude. I'm going to go straight Bruce fucking Lee with it. And let's just see if it's fun. I come out, I start, and everything. I strike a few poses and Robbie fucking dies. He's like, this is good. He's like, if I'm a TNA guy right now, because he was still working with Impact at the time, he goes, the only fucking guy I remember is the karate guy. Well, dude, that's me from now on. So I got out of the fucking cheetah print tights I was in, got me.
Those were hot, though, man. Those were hot.
For sure. For sure. Which is another thing that really kind of gets me when people say, oh, man, you're just going to rip Joey off. You have a leather jacket. You got this. Like, dude, if you go look at me fucking 5 years ago, I'm wearing the same shit. Like, there was a story. We were coming home from Mississippi. All In was playing, and it was Joey Janela versus Adam Page. And my fucking, like, I knew Joey because you can't be an independent, not know Joey Janela, but, like, I didn't know him that well, you know? My fucking inbox was blown up. People go, man, we thought that was you, man. And I was like, ha, 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 very fucking funny. You know, like the guy.
So, talk to me about being an independent wrestler on the rise, because we now know that everything on WrestleMania week has been canceled. It's you were one of those people set to break out WrestleMania week.
Man, that's so damn depressing, man. I can't, like, you think and you know, it's like, man, because last year WrestleMania happened and my former, well, not my former, my fellow Bitter Brothers Cabana Man Dan and O'Shea Edwards went to New York, right? I think they had like one or two bookings.
Yeah,
Dan
ended up, show, yeah.
Yeah, four times. And then I felt left out because I just wasn't there, man. Like, no one wanted me. Like, and I don't blame them because, you know, you could have got any other long hair white kid to do exactly what I was doing, I suppose, probably cheaper. So I didn't make myself stand out in any kind of way. The news got broke for Janela. Of course, people saw that and what they'll do. And you know this, oh man, we could bring him in. That'll be funny. It'll be cool. Like, oh God, this kid can work. So it started, you know, one thing after another started snowballing. And that's like, it's like with Warhorse, how Jake Parnell was a fucking great worker. And he's been a great worker for fucking forever. Ever since I've seen him work, like, but he puts on fucking face paint and he starts screaming and all of a sudden he's the fucking Warhorse and now everybody wants him. So it's just that one little thing, man, and next thing you know, you're snowball effect, man. You're picking up steam. But so this year for Mania, like, I just started getting hits and I was supposed to do of course I was gonna do a kung fu fight with Shae Fu, right, for my
pizza party. Couldn't wait for that.
Yeah, Kung Fu World Championship now, dude. I'm going to go ahead and spoil it for you. Even if we do it, they'll announce it. It was going to be 3 3-minute rounds. We were going to have judges, right? We're going to do points. Shit was going to be wild. Like, me, like, dude, the match, it's going to happen. And when it does, that's going to be one you guys are going to want to fucking watch. And then I had some WrestleMania gear coming up. You watch Dragon Ball Z?
I'm not a Dragon Ball Z guy, but a lot of my friends are into it, yeah.
Had some Hercule gear coming, dude. That shit was going to be hilarious, man. Like a fake belt and everything. It was just going to be just really playing off of it. But then I was, of course, man, I think Primetime Pro said they were going to have a spot for me. I was going to work Crux because you got to protect Lane. Battle Royal was just too fucking funny not to be in, dude. Like, as soon as like Kerry's a fucking G, man, and he's been one to tell me since day one. He's like, you got something special, man. This is before the Janela shit. He's like, when someone finds it, man, you're going to be making a lot of money. And sure fucking enough. But as soon as I saw he was running a show, I was like, dude, I'd love to be in on that. And if you were there, too, that shit was going to be dope. Joey hit me up probably a few months ago. And he's like, hey, man, you know, can you, you know, be in the clusterfuck? And I was like, yeah, sure, that'd be the fucking dopest thing ever. Because, like, Joey Janela Spring Break is the biggest fucking...
There's going to be 4,500 people there.
Yeah, it's the biggest fucking independent show ever, period. Like, I mean, you want to be on that fucking show. Even if it's, like, the Battle Royal or the clusterfuck, like, Colt fucking Cabana was in the clusterfuck, man. Like, that's how fucking crazy that shit was going to be. So, yeah, you're damn right I'd like to be there, man.
Clusterfuck is the highlight of the show, in my opinion. That's my favorite part.
Like, and so Cuz hooked me up on that one. And then, so I really felt like, man, it was going to be something for me to break out of. And you start getting news. You start seeing shit. You start like, man, maybe they won't get Tampa. Ah, fucking Mania left. What are they going to do? And the collective was just like, man, well, they were on life support. And they had to shut it down or reschedule it. That fucking sucks, man. Like, me, I feel fucking terrible for O'Shea, man. Like, O'Shea had some fucking bangers lined up, and they just fell through one after another after another. And he's in the group chat. He's just like, man. And he's just watching his bookings fall off. And he's like, this is bullshit. That's fucking wild, dude.
But so how do you recover from this? Once we get wrestling back, do you have your plan to hit the ground running?
Well, I know I have new gear coming. Cool. So that's straight sick. I'm gonna hit the ground sprinting, man. Like, I feel like when the dam bust, when this is over, dude, everyone's just gonna come out. Like, you're taking time off now, you get to heal, which is the most important thing, I think, is getting in better shape, and of course a lot of people will agree. And then, like, those nagging injuries that you really don't fucking know you have, but you're like, oh, man, my wrist is sore, and it's been sore, but don't know what I fucking did to it. You get you some time off, and now you go in, you're 100% ready to fucking go balls to the wall and fucking make something of this shit, dude.
So you got a plan. You're ready to rock once it gets going. You're affiliated with New South, which is an up-and-coming organization. I mean, mm-hmm. your affiliation with your cousin, Joey Janela, that can only bring good things.
Joey,
I think this is gonna be. I think this is gonna be. You know, the break is gonna suck, but I think this is gonna be. You know, once the dam bursts, I think you're gonna be one of those people who are gonna be on the scene.
Dude, I hope so, man. Like, I don't. There's not a Southern promotion right now that's not got me coming. That's worth a damn. Like, I'm at Action. I'm at Sup. I'm at New South. Like, anywhere that's worth the fuck has me on there. So let's hope to God that shit keeps rolling and I don't fuck up and get canceled on social media for posting Pokemon and shit like that.
So if people want to find you, how do they find you? Do you have merch? You know, how can people support you in this time?
Bro, so anything, you got Donnie Janela on Facebook. It's at Kung Fu Janela on Twitter and Instagram. Now, my pro wrestling tee store will not allow me to change my name, so it's Donnie Primetime on there. I'll have to email the brother, but I don't think now's the time. But no. So it's prowrestlingtees.com/primetimetees, or you can just Google Primetime, Donnie Primetime, pro wrestling tee, boom, there's the store.
Excellent. And definitely, you know, you're missing bookings now, so, you know, throw a little merch money Donnie's way, because, you know, this is a guy who's up and coming, you know, he's you know, really trying to make it in the wrestling business. And, you know, here's some income that he was going to have going for the next couple months that he doesn't have. So, you know, money you were going to spend on those wrestling tickets, throw a shirt at him. You know, get a Donnie Janela shirt. You know, that's something to really wear around, you know, and people probably ask you questions at the grocery store, which is the only place we can go to now.
Like, I don't put any shirts out that I wouldn't fucking wear, which is not saying much because you've seen how I dress, but I think they're fucking...
Awesome. Well, Donnie, thank you so much for the interview. I appreciate it, and we're all rooting for you, brother.
Go Buccaneers.
Oh, I hate you. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, Place to Be podcast number 544, JT Scott and Jennifer Smith are getting everyone prepared for the hottest show of the summer with a look at SummerSlam Fever from 8-19-90. On the main event 144, Scott, Nate, and Steve are joined by Jordan Duncan to talk about the state of wrestling during the coronavirus pandemic. On row one seat when I had Righteous Jesse and Pizza Wrestling's Dan Scotty. And a brand new show, Andy Atherton and Scott Criscola do a deep dive on the legendary wrestler Triple H. Welcome to the Evolution. Check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed. There's some great shows for you guys to listen to, including the Glenn Butler Hour, Podcast Spectacular, The Year in Pop, Laugh in Theater, DC4U, The Great Debate, Marvel Age. While you're at it, check out the Jenny Position, hosted by Jennifer Smith. I'm home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and Journey Through Infinity. And the new North-South Connection with JT Rizzaro and Chad Campbell. It's a new home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, and Jeff Lorenz Wrestling, and more. We've kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You can have all year to do your research, promote matches, and build your list. And God knows we have the time now. Conversation rules can be found at facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Or on our social media pages. The greatest sports logo of 2020 tournament is going on. There'll be four matchups a day, so like it on our Facebook page or follow it on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. Check out placementnation.com. We got weekly columns like Trent SmackDown and Fox Report, The Week in WWE, Paulie's Perspective, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of Place to Be Nation or use placetobenation.com/Amazon. Takes you right to Amazon and helps us out with no cost to you. Through the years, for people like us, in places like this.